Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue reading through the Old Testament. We find ourselves in the book of Daniel. We began this almost a year and a half ago, and as I was planning for the upcoming weeks, I see it's coming, the New Testament. I know, I've preached on the Old Testament so long, it's exciting. But today we'll talk about Daniel. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in Daniel's vision, the reality of Judgment Day is unavoidable. And perhaps with the vivid picture language, it's even a little bit scary. To really understand what Daniel is talking about in his vision, we need to back up a little bit and get some context. Daniel is living in exile in the land of Babylon, hundreds of miles from home. And because of her constant unfaithfulness, God has sentenced Judah to be exiled to Babylon for 70 years. And in the midst of those 70 years, Daniel and his associates had a lot of run-ins with the authorities. Remember how Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den because he refused to pray to the king and only prayed to God? And yet, God protected him. During this time, God also sent many visions to Daniel, using a lot of imagery not unlike what we would find in the book of Revelation. Many of them were glimpses of what was to come. In chapter 2, Daniel received a vision of a great statue made of several pieces that depicted the current and the upcoming world superpowers. And again, in chapter 7, Daniel receives a similar vision. He sees four beasts coming out of the sea, a winged lion who would represent Babylon, whose time and power would soon end, a bear, a picture of the Medes and the Persians, who would overthrow the Babylonians and return Judah to Jerusalem and the surrounding area, a leopard with two sets of wings, who would be this swift-moving Alexander the Great ushering in the Greek Empire. And finally, a beast which had no animal counterpart, but was only described as being terrifying and having iron teeth, which would be none other than the Roman Empire, who would eventually stomp its way through the much-known world, conquering everything in its path. Why the emphasis on the coming world powers? Because God's people were setting in exile. And they had been there long enough that it's easy to start to wonder if God really meant what he promised. He promised to bring his people back home. It's easy to think that maybe he had forgotten about them. It's easy to think that God was just a fable, an old wives' tale that had no basis in reality. Daniel's visions are in part a reminder that not only is God real, not only is God powerful, but everything that he said is going to come to pass, even Judgment Day. For as powerful as those four beasts were, and for as terrifying as each of them might have been on their own right, nothing even comes close to the description of God that we get here. Verses 8 and 9. The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was fiery flames, and the wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. I don't know about you, but a man gleaming white, sitting on a flaming throne, presiding over an entire river of fire, is not someone or something that I want to ever meet in my life. And yet this is the God whom we all will stand before in judgment. There's no avoiding it. Daniel's clear in his accounting here. The court sat in judgment and the books were opened. There's going to be judgment taking place here. And when the Ancient of Days speaks, you listen. When he judges, there's no going back on that judgment. There are no appeals in God's court. All decisions are final. And one of the worst things about this picture of God's judgment is that our conscience jumps up and wildly points its finger and says, "See, I told you so." Our conscience is that voice that reminds us to feel bad every time that we have done something wrong. Oh, we may try to silence that voice or dull it to the point that it doesn't really care what we do. But in the end, the conscience can read the law that God has written upon our hearts, and it knows that there's punishment for sin. And so when it sees a judge sitting on a throne over a river of fire, the conscience says, "Yes, that seems about right." And the nauseating thing about what the conscience says is that it's right. This is what we deserve. Not a break today, not a silent, smooth ride. God promised Adam and Eve that if they ate the fruit from the forbidden tree, they would certainly die. And this fiery judge, with his fiery judgment, this is the death that God had in mind. Not a peaceful heart attack in sleep. Not a long, painful fight with cancer. No, eternal death, everlasting suffering in the fires of hell. To sin against the eternal God brings eternal punishment on that sinner. And that's each and every one of us. And so what do you say? What could you possibly do to change any of this? There's not enough water in the entire universe to extinguish a flame like that. There's no way to change our status. We're guilty, and there's no plea bargain. There's no way to bring the charges down to a misdemeanor. In this court, either you're perfect or you're not. And if you're not, it means capital punishment. And so we see those powerful beasts, the nations who had ruled the world, stripped of their power and their dignity. Oh, some exist for a while, but the fourth beast especially is sent into that awful fire. The Ancient of Days rules all things, endures all things, bears all things. If not even the mighty Roman Empire can stand up against the authority of God, then what chance do we possibly have? Daniel's clear in his accounting here. The court sat in judgment and the books were open. Our deeds are recorded there, and in them is recorded sin after sin after sin that we cannot deny and that we cannot get away from. There is nothing good in those books about us at all. Or is there? We're told that, "Behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him." Now this person is different from the four beasts that came before him, as different as mankind is from animals. Who is this man that appears on these clouds and dares to approach the terrifying Ancient of Days and is even granted an audience with him? Now this section of Daniel may not be super familiar to us, but it certainly was to Jesus Christ. He referred to it over and over again. In fact, it's one of the reasons that the Jewish leaders wanted him to be gone, because of this prophecy and others like it, foretelling the coming of one looking like a son of man. Jesus is the Son of Man who came wearing deceptive garb. He has the appearance of a man. And yet he is the glory of God, true man, true God. These prophecies foretold the coming of the divine Messiah. And in making use of that name, referencing these events, Jesus was not only claiming to be the long-promised Savior, but even God Himself. For who could stand in the presence of the Ancient of Days but someone who shared His holiness and His power? In Daniel's vision, the Son of Man is given authority, unimaginable power. And the four beasts, as powerful as they were, ruled for a finite time before the next beast came up or before they would be completely destroyed. But this would not hold true for the Son of Man. Listen again. And to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. And His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And His kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. This is no new dictator, judge, or tormentor of sinners. The Son of Man is the Savior of the nations. This Son of Man is the one who would make peace, peace between a sinful race of mankind and the imposing Ancient of Days. The Son of Man will usher in an eternal era. And He receives power and authority because He has completed His task. That turns Judgment Day on its head. For your verdict is no longer guilty, but innocent. Now, because of what Jesus, the Son of Man, has done for us, when you look in those court records and when you find the pages of your sins, they are blank. They've been blotted out, forgotten forever. You see, our verdict is not written in the sweat and the strength that we've exerted in this life, but in the blood of Jesus our Savior. And at this, the Ancient of Days smiles. And we realize that He's not the overbearing, terrifying judge that we had feared. He's our Heavenly Father, whose flames of judgment have been completely extinguished. In Jesus, there is no fear of hell from God, but only the embrace of His love. Judgment Day is real, is coming, and it will mean the beginning of everlasting life with our God, who loves us, gave Himself for us, and has made us holy. In Him. In Him you are innocent. Thanks be to God. Amen. You are the body of Christ, each one of you part of it. Amen. We worship our God with our tithes and our offerings.